This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What the advantage the Texans have? Here we go. Here's Jack Easterby once again.
Leaders are leaders by actions, right? Mm-hmm. How you act, right? You can, you know, put somebody a C on their chest, or you can, you know, celebrate them in the media or publicly, but it's really about how they act day to day. And yeah. So I think what we've seen in camp so far, and I think Texans fans should be very excited about, is we've had some very intentional actions done by players to invest in each other. Things, they're in, you know, separate locker rooms, they're spread out. We have guys that are leaving notes for other guys. We have guys starting chats and texting each other. Mm-hmm. We have guys watching extra film after the coordinators are done at night. We got guys sharing veteran experience, saying, hey, man, last year when we played here, we saw this. Yeah. Or, hey, they might give you this look, but it doesn't really look like that. And so the quicker that we can use the veteran wisdom that we have and try to, you know, disseminate that information to the other guys, I think it's going to be a competitive advantage for us.
So watching tape and starting group chats?
Yeah, and talking about some of the things you've seen.
Ain't nobody else doing it.
Okay.
All right, Figgy says so. I'm with you, Figgy. I'll buy that.
There you go, Figgy. There's an advantage for the Texans. Mm-hmm. There's also some stuff that the Texans need to look at this Thursday, weather willing. We'll get into Bill O'Brien's thoughts on the weather. But before we do, Lonnie Johnson, he's had a good week of practice. There's some talk that maybe he could be a starting corner, also getting some work in with the safeties. So Bill O'Brien, before practice today, asked, what exactly is the role going to be for second-year cornerback Lonnie Johnson?
I think it's week to week. You know, we've got to look at the opponent and see where Lonnie's skill set fits the best relative to how we want to play that opponent. I mean, he does a lot of things well. He's a good guy. He works really hard, and he's got good size. He's kind of a unique skill set. Right. So he can do some different things. And I think the big thing with Lonnie's health, making sure he stays healthy, just like pretty much everybody, that's a key. But if he stays healthy, he'll have a good year for us.
Lonnie Johnson is one of those guys who he looks really good in practice. He's one of those guys that sticks out above the corners. I just don't know how good of a cornerback he is at this point. And I think the only way we're going to see is when he's going against guys that aren't on his own squad. He's working out with the safeties, could be a hybrid, the positionless DB that we talk about. He's looked good in practice, but let's be honest, he looked good in practice last year, and there were times he struggled on the field.
This is true, but I'm actually encouraged by everything we're hearing and seeing, and Sean Pendergast reporting for us, and you were out there, you and Figgy were out there on Sunday. Some of the things we're seeing and hearing with Lonnie Johnson. You are correct. He was impressive in practice last year and a little bit erratic during the season, and then bad in the Chiefs game. That's all accurate. But it is his second year, and I've been saying all along this offseason that I'm optimistic about Bradley Roby being the guy. I don't know, but I'm optimistic. I'm also optimistic about Lonnie Johnson just because I feel like that leap that a player takes from year one to year two is one of the biggest ones. And also because Bill O'Brien clearly is going, you know, this isn't exactly spilling any secrets here, but I think it's pretty clear to all of us, they're using him at safety, okay? Breaking news. I mean, you know, I know they don't like to share some of the sets and stuff that are going on in practice, but we're seeing tweets of him working out with safeties. We're seeing, you know, Bill O'Brien talking about moving him around. It's a safe assumption that they're going to run him some at safety too. That tells me they have confidence in him just in general, right? That he's having a really good camp so he can play some cornerback. They can move him around. He can maybe play some safety. I'm actually optimistic about Lonnie Johnson.
All right. What about Kiki QT and Jonathan Grenard? Because Kiki QT has now missed four straight days of practice. What's going on? We thought maybe that Kiki QT would get out of the doghouse. He's missed four straight days of practice. Jonathan Grenard was out yesterday. Coach, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I would say that Kiki, you know, we're just watching him a little bit. I don't want to get into the details because, we're only 2 weeks out from the game. Kiki's having a good camp. I think relative to ramp up again, that's going to be my general answer to injury questions. You know, it's just a different type of ramp up for different guys. And sorry, I can't be more specific about it. I just can't. I just don't believe in being real specific about injuries, as you know, for 7 years. So, the other one is who? John Grenard? Yeah, John's doing all right. John will be all right. He's hanging in there. He'll be out there eventually.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, he was there Sunday.
He was there Sunday, didn't practice yesterday. And I think right now, Kiki QT is a little bit iffy to me, but I think they have high hopes for him. They just want him to do something. They want him to step up and start being available, first of all, and then start making some plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if Kiki does scrimmage, because if not, then I think he could be in trouble. Yeah. I think he needs these scrimmages to be able to show what he can do. But hopefully they're keeping him for that, because I think his ceiling's high, but that's something to keep an eye on. And also something to keep an eye on is whether or not they're even going to have the scrimmage. We know the tropical storms could be heading this way. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about monitoring the weather.
But now I'm looking at a European model, and I'm looking at this other model. And, I'm like, which model do you – I mean, I don't even – like one looks like it's headed towards Louisiana. We're on the west of it. We stay on the west of it, maybe we'll be okay. But last time I checked, I didn't have a degree in meteorology, so I don't know. But we're definitely watching it. We had a phone call last night. Jack and I had a phone call last night with Jamie Roots, and we're on top of it. We'll make a call when we have to make the call. I think this one's different than Harvey, right? Because it's more about wind, and Harvey was about rain. So I think the wind is an issue relative to our bubble and things like that. So we'll stay on top of it.
Seems like he knows a little bit about it, though. He's a pretty smart guy.
I took a meteorology class once.
You did?
It kicked my butt, but I did take it.
I took it in the summer. It was basically a blow-off.
Oh, not at A&M.
Got it over.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a cupcake, and it just kicked my butt.
Kicked for me.
It wasn't for me. We don't even know if they're going to be able to scrimmage on Thursday.
No idea.
And for those who don't, we'll get into this a little bit more later, but for those who haven't really monitored, Hurricane Laura did us no favors overnight. I mean, it's starting to come this way, and that's why we're talking about it in football terms, but just in personal terms, you guys need to be aware of that. I think Galveston is already in a mandatory evacuation, so...
Shout out to the people in G-Town.
Adjust accordingly. I wrote something for the website that I think can be a little bit helpful. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into some life hacks from the OG Hurricane hacks. But is it a disadvantage? If you have to move this scrimmage, is that a disadvantage, Coach, or are you just going to stick and move?
I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, there's not too much you can do about it. I wouldn't look at it as a setback. We've had good, hard practices. No one wants to go through a hurricane, but I mean, if something like that happens, we just adjust and adapt. I mean, that's 2020, right? I mean, this is like typical for 2020, right? You got all these things going on, and now you got a hurricane. I mean, it is what it is. You just adjust, you adapt. Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move,
stick
man.
And move.
You know,
not
this is what it is. And if we get a hurricane, it's terrible, but we just adjust our schedule, and these guys, we'll have the team ready to go.
Hashtag stick and move.
Stick and move. All right, a few things on football terms here. From what we gathered, they're planning the scrimmage in NRG Stadium, which is to me is a good thing. They're planning on putting the coaches in the press box, making it a game-type preparation, pre-game-type warm-ups and meetings and taping and everything else. They're planning on a regular game-type situation. It will be a severe hindrance if they can't scrimmage on Thursday, because we don't know what this hurricane is going to do, Landry, but Houston floods and NRG Stadium around that whole area floods, and people's homes coming from wherever they're going, coming from to go to practice, there's flooding they have to deal with. If they have to cancel it, it's a football impact on the Texans with no preseason. It puts them at a disadvantage. I know he's talking about sticking and moving. I mean, you got to be light on your feet, you know, to use that same analogy. Because
Jack and I call it stick and move. Yeah, stick and move.
Yeah,
man.
But you got to be real light, Dan, like Muhammad Ali, you know, float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, because it could get really, really difficult for them to do this.
And if it is a disadvantage, it would benefit Indianapolis and Tennessee, the other two teams in the division trying to prevent the Texans from winning three division titles in a row. Let's go fill out the vibes in Indianapolis and Tennessee, the other two threats in the AFC South. We got some giddiness and we got some uncertainty. We'll hear it next.
Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move, man.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localizing, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Hey! Hey, Terry, right now 57's firing. He's the new Clowney. Hey, you don't play Mike. Why would you line up there?
Right here.
Right here. Right here. Put your hands up. Tell everybody you made the play. You like last one. Put your hands up. Tell everybody. Oh. We're just making up alerts. You're like, you hear things. You're screaming. Reverse. You don't know what's coming.
It's Phillip Rivers talking smack to the Texans last year. They're going to get a double dose of that this year. We know here in H-Town, the Texans are sticking and moving, according to King Bill and Jack Easton.
Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move, man.
Stick and move. But what are they doing in the other two cities that are a threat to the Texans winning that third straight division title? No disrespect to Jacksonville. You guys can sit on the sidelines here. We're
just build that squad.
The Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. They're sticking and moving in Houston. What are they doing in Tennessee? I'm glad you asked. Let's ask Taylor Lewan, the left tackle for the Tennessee Titans, talking about the new norm about 3 weeks away from the start of the season. Here is him talking about the new norm in Tennessee coming off an AFC championship appearance.
Playing football game, it's a one-on-one matchup. Things kind of space out when you get into a flow state and try to play those games. It's going to be different. Jogging out there when we go and announce your set, we announce the offense and we go 77 to the one, I'm waving to nobody. It's going to be different. Getting used to the new normal. How often we have to wear a mask, and which, spoiler alert, it's all the time. As far as the games go, it's gonna suck. We wish that we could play in front of the fans, but for me, it's when I go out and play football, I'm going out and play football. I've never been thought of as a overthinker, so I'm definitely not gonna start now.
Yeah, you're definitely not an overthinker. It is gonna be weird, the introductions and everything like that,
especially here
for the players. Yeah, well, are they still gonna?
I don't know.
Whoa!
Number 99,
wow.
JJ Crickets.
That might be the biggest nobody's talking about ever. Is the PA announcer
nobody's
still
talking about
going
guy
to only say the first name? Are we actually going to see the end of that?
Number 99, JJ Crickets. Crickets.
What if they have fake crowd noise say it?
Yeah, but you would have to have one for everybody, including new players.
What if they did that?
Like David Johnson. Well, I guess you could use another Johnson, but you know, any of these new players. Grenard. Jonathan.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's already what it's like anyways.
Ross.
I didn't even think about that. That's Taylor Lewan, though, talking about how weird it's going to be. What about practice? How weird is practice right now? Here is Taylor Lewan as we try to sniff out the vibes in Tennessee as the NFL season approaches.
Taylor, you said the last time that you talked to us that you were hoping that these practices wouldn't be tiptoeing around and that you would actually get to have some intensity and do work almost like normal. How has that gone through the first week or so of all of this? And are you satisfied with what you're getting done?
I don't necessarily remember saying that. However, it's been intense. We have a lot of physical guys in this team, and it's definitely have shown quite a bit in practice, and guys are definitely getting after it.
I don't remember saying that. I like Taylor Lewan's how candid he is, his candidness. He seems to be comfortable, you know, just telling you what he thinks. And I don't think, because they're professionals, that it's ever going to be an issue how intense they practice and how intense, especially, they play. You know, with no crowd, it doesn't matter. You can look at the NBA. Those are intense games, and there's no fans in the stands. It's going to be the same way with the NFL.
Now, we know the Titans are coming off an AFC championship appearance, somewhere the Texans have never gone. Every team in the division has gone to the AFC championship except Bill O'Brien during the Bill O'Brien era. However, Taylor Lewan wants to make it very clear that last year is a crossroad. It's not something of better signs are ahead, better things are yet to come. It is a crossroads time period for the old Oilers.
Being at a crossroads of a franchise, I think, you know, Vrabel and Robinson have put us in a great position to be successful at this point. We have a lot of work to do. And so to focus on last year's successes is going to put us in an unfortunate position if we just keep focusing on the past of 2019. And hopefully in December, November, we're put ourselves in a position to hopefully make a run at it.
And this is what I'm talking about when you and others have mentioned that, you know, this kind of awkward coming thing, you know, that you're not getting a good vibe, I think is the word John Harris used, out of Tennessee. I'm not reading anything into that. I think they're just quietly going about and they're still angry. They're still angry about not getting the job done last year. I think they're intense and they're going to be ready.
Their biggest storyline right now is who's going to call the defense. Dean Pease has been a big part of things in Tennessee. Mike Vrabel, he's gone back and forth on the defensive play calling. He's been asked a lot of questions about it. Tell me if it sounds like Mike Vrabel's getting a little bit testy about having to answer questions about who's going to be calling the plays on the defensive side of the rock in 2020.
Yeah, Mike, just wanted to check on the play calling thing one more time. I know you had said earlier that you and Shane would kind of work things out. With him doing it today, was that the way things went? Is that a good step?
I told him what to call on every play, John, and he just talked to the linebacker. You know what I mean, I don't.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
Or maybe he didn't. Maybe he called everyone, and I hand signaled.
Okay. Like, I see, but I still, I guess I'm a bit of an encouraging development for Shane too, in that I guess this was a first for him.
A first from the standpoint of
just calling some play. I don't think you guys have done unscripted before today, right?
I mean, we've done that in the years that I've been here.
Okay.
We've done that before in the past, believe it or not. So.
Vrabel is not tipping his hand in the least bit. Well, maybe he called him. Maybe I hand signaled it. Not tipping his hand. I don't think it matters that much, does it?
Really? It doesn't matter who calls the defense?
Well, because it's a little, it's a lot different than offense. Defense.
I would say it's maybe more difficult. I
think the most difficult thing. Well, first of all, you have fewer plays and sets.
Okay.
All right. So that makes it just by default a little bit easier. I'm not trying to downplay how important it is to call your defense, but I think the most important thing is when to pressure, when not to pressure. And that's going to be a collaborative effort anyway. Because even Bill O'Brien, who's an offensive-minded guy, will tell Romeo or whomever is calling the defenses, in this case Anthony Weaver, let's bring some pressure. I want you to bring some pressure. And then they'll do it. You know what I'm saying? It's collaborative anyway when it comes to pressure, no pressure. Now, I know all our experts are going to, you know, Wade and Clint and the whole nine yards are going to say, you're crazy, John. Defenses, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's easier, and the head coach is involved in pressures anyway.
Here's Mike Vrabel on the fans. We've already talked about fans not being at the game, and some teams are going to have fans. Some teams are shooting for 20%, so on and so forth. Here's Mike Vrabel as we continue to weigh out the vibes in Tennessee, talking about fans being at games or not being at games.
I think the amount is probably, no, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not sure how loud 15,000 can be, but I guess maybe if there's some sold out that it could be, but I haven't really thought in that direction yet, Teresa.
I'll say this again.
Yeah, Teresa.
Mark this, Figgy. I said it last week. I'll say it again right now. I think I'd rather have no fans than 15,000 fans.
Okay, that's weird.
Because I think it's going to look sad.
That's weird.
It's going to look like the second quarter of a Rockets
game. Sad. It's going to look cool.
It's going to look sad. There's going to be space between everybody. It's not going to be as raucous.
It's going to look like the what of a Rockets game?
The second quarter of a Rockets game. It's going to look like nobody.
Kicking them while they're down, John.
It's going to look like,
gosh,
you know, after halftime of a Longhorns game. It's sad when it's not that full. I'd rather have none than you know, a third or not even a quarter of
but
the
fans.
But
you know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they left. You know why.
Why?
Because they're not allowed. What do you mean why?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like Rockets games and Longhorns.
No. Rockets games, they're either on the concourse drinking or they're not there. They didn't want to use their tickets. Longhorns, I don't know. It depends.
What the score is.
It depends what the score is. But you know, it's not going to look sad because you know why the stadium's not full.
You do know why, but it still looks sad. It looks like it's
sad.
It's, you're conditioned to think, oh, wow, that looks awful. Just, you know, one person every six seats.
That's cool.
It's not cool. It might be a lot of things, but one thing it is not is
can you imagine
cool.
having five seats by you at a sporting event?
Well, you could spread out.
Put your legs on the seat in front of you?
Yeah.
Just get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Indianapolis now. We've already gone to Tennessee. You would describe the mood as intense?
Intense. Quietly intense.
Quietly intense. Indianapolis, they seem a little bit giddy. Here's Marlon Mack, one of the top 10 rushers in the NFL last year. Colts in the second round selected Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. There have been a lot of good things said about him. Here is Marlon Mack talking about his new teammates, Jonathan Taylor.
Motivates you. Just coming in, I know we can be great together. We come together as a team, man. Put the work, man. And our goals, everybody got the same goal as this team, man. He's going to be a beast, man. And the team should be aware of him right now. So just be ready for it.
Yikes. You and I have both heard from sources that he has just been killing it, Jonathan Taylor, in practices. Like, explosive killing it.
The Saints, after, you know, a long playoff drought, they probably should have gone to the Super Bowl 2 years ago with the missed pass interference call. Part of the reason for their emergence was Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram becoming a threat in the backfield. Both of those guys made the Pro Bowl. I think that's what Indianapolis is envisioning right now with Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor is that type of relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that those guys are going to embrace it. I don't think it's going to be awkward at all. And the stuff you're hearing about Jonathan Taylor is it's a pretty scary, scary sight that you're hearing. And, oh, by the way, mm-hmm. Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well for the Chiefs, who the Texans are going to be facing in 16 days. See what Lewis Riddick said about him yesterday?
What's that?
He said he should be the number one overall pick in fantasy football.
What?
Which sounds crazy, but then I'm watching the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon, and he goes eighth overall in that draft, and Matthew Berry, the fantasy expert, says he has him as his sixth overall guy. I don't know where this came from. I thought Edwards-Helaire would be nice, but now all of the people that study this stuff, all the people that know this stuff, are saying that this guy's just going to be all world. And by the way, the last time Lewis Riddick said draft a rookie in fantasy number one overall,
mm-hmm. Let me guess,
Saquon Barkley 2 years ago.
Ouch.
And Saquon Barkley led the league, I think, or was top two in all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
This kid that the Texans are facing in less than 3 weeks is getting a lot of rave reviews, as is Jonathan Taylor, who, by the way, is joining another 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah, and Marlon Mack, which is kind of cool. I mean, it didn't seem like it was just lip service. You know, Marlon Mack was just like all in with him, too. I mean, two is better than one if you got two guys like that.
Of course, the reason for optimism with the running backs is the offensive line. The offensive line for the Colts has been one of the best in football the last 2 years. Anthony Costanzo, the veteran leader of that offense, is going to be a new quarterback under center. Here's Anthony Costanzo talking about giddy-ass Phillip Rivers.
I feel like every time I talk to him, he's like a sixth-grade kid ready to play his first day of football. That guy loves football, I think, more than anybody I've ever been around. So, you know, he loves the O-line. He had a group chat going with us O-linemen in the offseason. It was fun. He likes to do the voice messages. So we'd have like a 2-minute voice message, just him talking about how hyped he is for the season. So, it's going to be fun playing with him, and I'm excited to see what he brings.
I'd love to hear one of those inspiring voice messages from Phillip Rivers. We've heard him mic'd up, and it's pretty dang cool. And he is a trash talker without cussing, too, by the way. He's like the Bill Cosby Bill Cosby. You know, Bill Cosby never cussed when he did stand up.
Dump that.
He did some other things.
He did some other things. Who's another non-cusser?
He's clean, you know, like
Sinbad.
Bill Cosby.
Sinbad.
There you go, Sinbad.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers keeps it clean like Bill Cosby.
Well.
John Lopez just said.
I'm talking about his comedy.
Yeah, you know, it's edited like Bill Cosby. What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, okay. Let me Google clean comedians, because Bill Cosby clearly was not my best decision.
It was not very clean. My gosh. Here is Phillip Rivers. Here's a little taste of that energy that Anthony Costanzo just put out there.
I threw you for a loop, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Bill Cosby being clean. Here's Phillip Rivers.
you know, you're born with it a little bit. And then I was around the environment and saw the passion my dad coached with. So certainly that helped mold that and, you know, kind of trigger some of those early on passion for the game. I feel like I got a better feel offensively, but still trying to get the defensive guys down. I try to wait to catch a glimpse of them with their mask down in front of their locker so I can see the nameplate. That helps. But it's been a good couple days.
Jim Gaffigan, by the way, clean comedians.
It's too late.
It's
now.
Too late.
Yeah, it's way too late now. You just said he's clean like Bill Cosby. That's rough. I don't think it gets less clean.
Jim Gaffigan is a clean
than Bill
comedian.
Cosby.
Yeah, I like Jim Gaffigan.
Do they still play the Cosby Show, or is that done?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Yeah.
I think it'd be weird to watch now. I haven't watched it in a while.
It was weird just to say he was a clean comedian. What are you talking about? I mean,
it was still a good show, though.
Oh, it was tremendous. It was awesome until, you know, later, and you realized what's going on.
I wonder if there were context clues there.
During the Cosby Show? Man, I used to watch it every week. I can't think of any. Not really. Did you watch it? It was a little before your time, wasn't it?
I watched a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty overrated, but, you know.
Did it travel well with time?
The answer to that would be hell no.
Hell no.
That would be the answer to if Bill Cosby's work traveled well with time. What are the Texans trying to do right now, by the way? We know what the Titans are doing. We know the Colts are giddy. What are the Texans trying to do?
Jack and I call it stick and move. Stick and move, man.
Stick and move, man.
Okay, stick and move.
Buddy Hackett, text board says, clean comedian. They're trying to rescue me here. They're trying to help me out.
It's too late.
Steven Wright, it's a good one.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, he was excellent.
Never heard of him.
Fluffy?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, you have.
Never heard
Fluffy's
of him.
Fluffy's monster.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Ever. It's the OG John Lopez, Simba. Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, with you.
Gabriel Iglesias, that's Fluffy.
We're keeping it clean like Bill Cosby here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. An important week for the Texans, a unique day for the Astros, plus a familiar time for the Rockets. Plus, Jack Easterby lays out the positivity for us next.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.